Ephesians chapter 3. Notice the things that he prays about as we read through the text. I'm beginning with verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let me just tell you why I come to church. First of all, it's because God says to. That's number one. God says to. Now, that has nothing to do with whether I want to or not. God says to, what is my business as a child of God? Oh, to obey my Father, to obey my Savior, to agree with the Spirit of God. So I'm told to. That's number one. Then, number two, when I begin to obey God, it may be that sometimes I don't want to. I don't mean want to obey, but it may mean sometimes maybe I don't want to come to church. But when I obey God, in time, I'll get to the place where I want to come to church. Now, recognize, I'm obedient, I'm coming, whether I want to or not. And now, after a while, God does a work in my heart because I'm obeying him about coming. And I begin to want to. That's true of my wife and I right now. Maybe true of you. But then, in the third place, I come because I need it. So I'm obeying it. Then I want it. Then I need it. And I'm beginning to understand that I really do need coming to church. It's not an optional thing. It's a matter of my obedience. It's a matter now of my desire. And it's a matter of my realization that I need it. And then, without it, I have set myself on a track that will end in disaster. Now, folks, let me say that again. Without it, 1, 2, 3, without doing it, I have set myself on a track that eventually will bring disaster. When I was at South Sheridan, for a matter of about 8 years, when I look back upon it, I'm amazed. For 8 years, I did almost nothing but counsel people with trouble. Marriages, young people, elderly people, for 8 years. If you're ever thinking about going into the ministry, could I suggest to you that you don't do that? I mean, listen, folks. You'd like to think you do, but you don't. But you'd like to think you've heard everything. Well, in 8 years, I did hear a lot. And it did teach me some things. One of the major things that I learned was this. That if people don't regularly spend time in the Word of God, and if people don't regularly come to church, those two things, if they don't regularly do that, they're going to have more trouble than they can handle. And when they come to a counselor, you think the counselor can solve the trouble? No! All the counselor does is, if he's worth his salt, quotes the truth. Amen. Applies the truth. I mean, it's not the counselor's opinion that'll do any good. It's not his study of whoever he studied, hopefully not Sigmund Freud, but, you know, it just... He has to understand that it's the truth of the Word of God that makes always the difference. Amen. That's always the way it is. So, having said that tonight, from this verse 16 that we read from, I want you to notice the phraseology now. That we might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, according to the riches of His glory. See, here's the point. God's desire is that our inner soul life, our real person on the inside, should be lived in the energizing power of the Spirit of God. That's the desire of God. That's not only the desire of God, that is exactly what Paul is praying about in this prayer that he prays. That's his desire for the body, for the church. And so, we're to be strengthened, meaning vigorously growing by feeding on the Word of God. Listen, you can be sure that the Spirit of God does not exercise His loved work in us of showing Christ's glories in order that we might just run around and do our own thing. No! The wonderful way by which the wonderful Spirit of God works is when you open the door in your will and you say, whatever you want, that's what I want. Did you get that? Now, that's a major step. It's not talking about perfection. It's talking about the realization that when you honor the Savior, you make the Spirit of God glad. Did you get that? Because it's His business to always exalt the Savior. So He in you, pointing always in exaltation of the Savior, and you're doing your best to obey the truth, and studying the truth, and saturating your heart and soul in the inner man with the truth, you make the Spirit of God glad, and when He's glad, abundant blessing of all sort flows all over your being. Daily, nightly, when you're sleeping. Oh, yes. So that's the gist of what Paul is talking about here now. And he wants you and I to grow in such a manner that our love, His love, develops within us not a surface relationship, but an ever-deepening fellowship. There is a great deal of difference. It's not here. It's here. You read and you understand. That's here. But when you make it yours, that's here. And it has to be made yours if you're to live it. You understand me? This is not the kind of a thing that has within it choices that you make, some of which are in opposition to the truth. No, no, no. And when you submit yourself, bow the knee, surrender your heart, your thinking, to whatever the Spirit of God wants. And that's always based on the truth. When you do that, you end up being a different person than you were before. By the way, may I say to you that everyone in this room, we need to be a different person. If I grow in grace, I'll be different tomorrow than I am today. And by the way, when I make that statement, and I'm not being facetious, my wife could hardly say amen. I need to be a different person. My growth in grace makes tomorrow a better day than this one. But the necessity is the growth in grace. That's the necessity. And so, as Paul continues here, as a result of what we're talking about now, then the Scripture states that Christ, the Savior, He will dwell in our hearts by faith. And when the Spirit feeds us with the precious Word of God, then, as a result, the person and the presence of the Savior will then be experientially real and vivid to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not mystical. This is really, biblically speaking and spiritually speaking, very, very practical. And so, that ye, he's praying now, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the, now here it is, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The desire of the apostle as he prays this prayer, all of what he's saying by the power of the Holy Spirit who gave him what he said. By that power, his desire is that you and I might experience the fullness of God in our hearts, in our lives, in our walk, so that we become the representatives of a kingdom that we'll soon go to, but a kingdom that's also surrounding us at this point, so that people who are lost and in the corporate world and down on Skid Row and all the other places might be knowing the difference of a person who has the fullness of God in his life in opposition to some Christians who profess it but don't possess it. Amen. That's what he's praying here. And may I tell you, that's what I need. Oh yes, That's what I need. See, when we come back to verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, let's understand something here. The emphasis of my whole being ought be to thank God for His love to me. Did you get that? The emphasis is not my love to Him. No. That is service oriented. Now, don't jump the fence. But the emphasis here is on the love of God for me. I have a concern that many, many Christians do not think much about that. That's a whole different realm in your life. When you begin to understand that it is not your love toward Him, but instead it is His love toward you. That makes the difference. Now, because of His love toward me, because He loved me first, I love Him. But there is no way to compare the two. So I must understand that the love of God, as the songwriter wrote it, penned the words, is really indescribable. It is. That He should love me? And Paul said He was the chief of sinners. Paul said He was the least of all. And that I, having been born in 1935 in Lusk, Wyoming, with the daddy in the oil fields, and a dear, dear mother who within just months after I was born took a journey in a 34 Ford through the snow drifts through Wyoming, going back to Texas, where my mother had to drive the car much of the time and my dad was out pushing it out of a ditch. That my dad saved out of the mysticism and folklore of the Choctaw people. And that God should reach down, and because of my daddy's praying, and because of the love of God, should save me at the age of 20. If I wasn't saved when I heard all the truth from the age of 8 and 9 and 10, and I did, why 20? And that God should love me to such an extent that He would be patient with me so that I was not destroyed before I got saved. That is beyond my understanding. But there is one thing I do understand. He does love me. And because He does, I owe Him everything. He owes me nothing. I owe him everything. So therefore, when it comes to these spiritual roots, this is a matter of down, 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 deep, deep in the love of God. And the question comes, from what do I draw my nourishment on a daily basis? From what do I draw my stability on a daily basis? If there is to be a power, then there must be depth in the love of God. And the roots must grow deeper and deeper in that love. Vigorously on a daily basis, going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And if that's true with you, my friend, you have more excitement than you can handle. You won't ever get bored. And you won't be moody. I know it will surprise you, but the Holy Spirit is not moody. And He lives in you. Therefore, why are you if you ever are moody? Excuse me, Yeah. So deep, deep, deep in the love of God. Ground dead. First rooted, then ground dead. This refers to the foundations of a building. Now, if you don't have foundation that's solid, deep, then you might as well forget about building high. There is no way. So therefore, foundationally speaking, spiritually speaking, deep in the love of God, foundation stable, in order that a life might be built, rising, building, 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 so that it becomes an example to the neighbors and to the people in the grocery store and even to the body. And if I grow like I ought and treat you like I should, and if you grow like you ought and treat me like you should, we will have a glorious time in the Woodside Baptist Church. Oh yeah! Nothing is same old when you go deep in the love of God. Nothing is same old. And so, grounded. Only, hear me, only a deep experience can sustain us in the severe trials of today. Now folks, may I say this? We haven't seen anything yet. You think what has happened in our own state in the last little while? Oh, it's going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. Only this depth that we're talking about that Paul prayed for in our lives can sustain you in the severe trials. If my wife died tomorrow, it would kill me. Now, not literally, you understand what I'm saying, but it would. Because outside my Savior, there is the dearest treasure right there for me. Well, now, Since that is true, and it is true, what about all that He is and does for me on a daily basis? Ought that not be the kind of a thing where I treasure the moments? I mean, just look at it honestly. Would that allow me to knowingly, now follow me closely. Would that allow me knowingly to choose to look at what I should not look at? Would that allow me to do what, unfortunately, tragically, would that allow me to do what some preachers are doing and have done, to get into pornography? Would that allow me to buy into the moral slide of our day? Would that allow me to choose to listen to the wrong kind of music? Now, you listen. You think about that. There are rafts of people this night who profess Christ and listen to dastardly music every day. What are they trying to do? Are they trying to fill up on it now because they know they won't get it in heaven? What are they doing? When I do that and choose to do that, do you know what that does? That dements the power of the Spirit of God in my life. What's more important? This love, and then responding in obedience, and that I should listen to what I shouldn't listen to? How does that measure? And so I think about this matter of apprehension, verses 18 up through 19a. See, the English words comprehend and apprehend, both of them, they stem from a Latin word, hear me carefully, prehender. That's the word. They stem from that word. And that means to grasp. That's what it means. Comprehend, apprehend, prehender. Grasp, to grasp. See, comprehend carries the meaning to mentally grasp something. Mentally. To mentally grasp something. And then apprehend suggests laying hold of it for yourself. See, if I get it here, understanding, that's mind. But if I get it here in my heart, that makes a difference, because it's out of the heart come the issues of life. So it has to be here, yes, academically, but it has to be here spiritually. And all of that is in agreement with the Spirit of God. And when that's true, my life is being lived in the fullness that Paul prays about here for the body. And so I want to be careful that I see what I ought to see. I mean, you and I both know sometimes you see things and you don't intend to. I know that. But the thing is, you want to look away. Look away. And I don't mean look away, Dixieland. Look away. As soon as you say, look away. I mean, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, I mean, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you sure enough can keep them from building a nest on your hair. Amen. And so, you and I, we must be rooted. Now, there are four magnitudes here. We read them. First of all, breadth. Width or breadth. This is a love which is enough to embrace the world. John 3:16. And this is a love that's long enough to last forever. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Mr. Spurgeon said, it's so long that your old age cannot wear it out. So long, your continual tribulation cannot exhaust it. Your successive temptations shall not drain it dry. Like eternity itself, it knows no boundaries. This love of God. This is a love that's deep enough to take Christ to the very depths to reach the lowest sinner. Philippians 1 and 2:18. See, here am I to grasp, to take hold of and make it mine, of this love, and this must be my life's occupation. But not so isolated that I have little to do with others. There's something wrong with a child of God that say they love the Savior and do not have a strong desire to be in the local church. There's something bad wrong with that. Now, don't throw anything at me. If you do, you better aim low, because I'm not very tall. The fact is, my whole being should be taken up with obedience because of the love of God. Huh? Well, okay then. Since that's true, then I must remember, when I sit under the preaching of the Word of God, wonderful. That isn't the time to text. That isn't the time to check the score of the football game. Do you understand that in many cases our cell phones have produced an addiction? There are people who can't stand to be... Listen, if they lost their phone, they'd have a cardiac arrest. I mean, what is this? I mean, of course it's useful. Of course it's helpful. But it ought not take your direction from the one who saved you to such an extent that you make it so important that it steals your time that you ought be spending with Him. Huh? You see, one writer said that this love is intrinsic, essential to the nature of this thing. And this love, born by the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:22, this writer said, love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touching. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. There is no fruit of the Spirit without love. William Clow said this. He has given this insight. The breadth of the love of God, for God so loved the world. The length of the love of God, He gave His only begotten Son. The depth of the love of God, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. The height of the love of God, but have everlasting life. So how broad? Broad enough to include all men of every race, color, and tongue. How long? Oh, it removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. How deep? The immeasurable distance from heaven's highest heights to hell's deepest depths. How high? High enough to lift every believing sinner into the very presence of God. Could I ask you a question? When you think about His love, does that allow you to strut? Oh, no. Oh, no. When you think about His love, does it make the object of your conversation with others yourself? When you think about His love, does that ever excuse your ugly demeanor? You see, the love of God in Christ is the very soil in which Christians thrive. It's also the foundation by which they will be shaped as their life of faith is built. Paul speaks of these people, the Ephesian church, being able to comprehend and know this love. And Paul is offering assurance to these believers, book burners, if you will. The Ephesians need to know the dimensions of that love. And you and I, hear me now as I close. We need each other. We do. In order to grasp the measure of Christ's love, as He makes it visible in the lives of our fellow believers. I mean, we need each other to be taught and encouraged by others in order to understand Christ's love better. We need to receive from each other the fruit of the grace gifts that Christ has given to others in order to bring a sense of His love to us. It takes all the saints to express the fullness of Christ's love. You personally, on your own, cannot do it. It takes everybody who's saved to do it. To such an extent that I need you. I need you. I need you, period. Obviously, we need Him. Obviously. But in having Him, we need each other. That's why I don't want to miss the assembly. I mean, the end result of all that's been said tonight, what we've been talking about tonight, is that we may be filled with the fullness of God. That it's what it's all about. The church is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Ephesians 1:23. Later, Paul will speak of the church growing to the stature of the fullness of Christ. But here, he is praying that God's fullness will fill us, that we might be filled to capacity with the Lord's Spirit and with His love. I have no right, because I purposely had to give up my rights when I got saved. Did you get that? By the way, that's also your case. Well, since I have no rights, then I think I should just open up and be so thrilled with His love. That if you say something ugly, I'm going to love you all the more. Excuse me? That if you're out of order, I don't go home and barbecue you. Huh? Oh, folks, listen. I'm hitting pay dirt right here. My responsibility, because of His great love, is to love Him and to love you. That's it. You say, well, what about serving? Oh, you have nothing to be concerned about. If you love Him and you love others, then the service rendered will be an automatic outflow, because you intend to obey what the Scripture says. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, help us in the name of Jesus. Tonight we are so blessed because of you. We are so provided for. In fact, it could be said that we are spoiled And perhaps that is the issue that ought be addressed in lives here in America. Lord, when I go home tonight, I pray that you'll help me to remember the things that have been said. I'm just like anybody else. I have such great needs, and I'm, without you, poverty-stricken. So when I look at Chris, may my love exude for him. When I look at Sharon, may my love exude for her. May that be true for Roy. May that be true with his whole audience. All because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.